opportunity to gather ourselves together to worship our God in heaven. It is always a beautiful day when we have a chance to sing praises to God and to hear his word spoken and to just take part in a worship service. This morning, we're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 20 and verse 21. Chapter 20 and chapter 21. I'd like to use the subject of my message this morning, Cities of Refuge. If there is one thing that history has proved to be true, it is that accidents happen. As humans, we are imperfect, and as such, we make mistakes. In most cases, people try to be careful to minimize the amount of damage that occurs when such unintentional events take place. But try as we might, situations don't always turn out the way we would hope. We would like to believe that when we make our mistakes, that the damage isn't too detrimental. But unfortunately, there will inevitably be times when things will happen that will be extremely devastating. Times when our mistakes may very well cost someone their lives. And even though it can be difficult to live with it, when you have made such a mistake, it can be even more difficult to handle for the family and loved ones of the person who has been killed. It can be so difficult, in fact, for them that their pain and their grief can cause them to have little care or concern for the fact that it was an accident. And for some people, retribution and revenge becomes their primary focus. This happens in a lot of cases when people feel as though someone has done them wrong, and not necessarily a death has occurred. Sometimes when people, you know, you see it out there in cases of road rage on the road. People get cut off on the road, and whether intentionally or unintentionally, and it becomes a situation where they get so mad about it that they feel it's their personal responsibility to go and confront this person or return the favor. So they begin chasing this person down so that they can give them the one-finger salute or attempt to force them to stop so that they can confront them verbally, or, in some cases, with physical violence. When in most cases, it's really just best to just let it go. Amen. And go on with your life. Amen. And that's just a situation involving everyday traffic conditions. Imagine how people get riled up and how they get so frustrated when you or somebody else is being directly responsible for the death of somebody that they care about, somebody that's very important to them. And in those cases, some of those people will stop at nothing until they can return the favor themselves. In Joshua chapter 20, we have seen how all of the nations, all of the tribes have been allotted their land. Everybody has at least gotten their land and don't know what lands they're going to receive. And at this point, there really doesn't remain much left to be done except for the Levites receiving the cities in which they are going to dwell in, because they are all going to have to have some place to live. So they have to have their cities that they're going to dwell in. And a part of them receiving the cities is the fact that some of these cities will be part of the cities of refuge. Okay. and as far as the city of refuge is concerned, for those of you who may not know, that's the place where somebody may run to when they have a situation where they have accidentally caused someone's death, and they can go to these places so that they don't end up losing their lives unjustly. In Joshua chapter 20, verses 1 through 9, it reads, chapter 20, starting at verse 1. The Lord also spoke to Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the slayer who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there from the avenger of blood. Now, before I go further, notice that he says the Lord spoke to Joshua. This is not somebody else who has said this is a good idea. This is not a bunch of group of people come together and say, well, this is something that we want. This was God's doing, you know, that he commanded to Moses. Continuing on. That the slayer who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he flees to one of these cities and stands at the entrance of the gate of the city and declares his case in the hearing of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city as one of them and giveth him a place that he may dwell among them. Then if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not deliver the slayer into his hand because he struck his neighbor unintentionally, but did not hate him beforehand. And he shall dwell in that city until he stands before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the one who is high priest in those days. Then the slayer may return and come to his own city and his own house, to the city from which he fled. Excuse me. Now here we see, in this chapter, proof of God's mercy and justice. And even more proof that he keeps his word. Because going back all the way to the book of Genesis, in chapter 9, verse 4 through 6, God says, but you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is its blood. Surely for your life, blood, I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of every man. From the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God, he made man. God is telling them clearly that blood requires blood. Then in the book of Exodus chapter 21, in verse number 12, he makes it very clear between intentional and accidental death. He says, anyone who assaults and kills another person must be put to death. But if it was simply an accident permitted by God, I will appoint a place of refuge where the slayer can run for safety. However, if someone deliberately kills another person, then the slayer must be dragged even from my altar and be put to death. There are examples in Scripture where people have run to the altar in order to seek sanctuary from those who were pursuing them. And he's telling them here that if you're guilty, then the altar is not going to save you, that you're going to be dragged away and be put to death. One of the things that you have to keep in mind is that from the very beginning, God has laid down his standards for how we are going to live our lives. He wants to make sure that we see the fact that it shouldn't come as a surprise to us that God is going to make sure that he has put it in his law that there is a way for us to deal with these issues, and also a way in which we might be shown mercy. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In our country, we already have laws, that well-established laws, and a process by which we may create new laws, and it becomes necessary, and many of our laws are based by a large amount of commandments from God's word. God was the one who set up the commandments. He was the one that set up the government and the laws. And he built it into laws. He built into the laws justice and mercy. Even if the people may not be wanting to show that much mercy. God knows that sometimes people make mistakes. And so, he didn't just leave it up to unpredictable nature of human emotions to resolve the problems that we have. And it shows us also that he is not like some of the people believe him to be. When you look at some people's opinions of the Old Testament, and Barbara mentioned this morning in Bible study how some people think that God is all about judgment. That's all he wants to do. He's just a God of wrath. But when you really take a careful look at through Scripture, you begin to realize that that really is not just the case. God is about justice, yes, but he is also about compassion. And it should come as no surprise that as a God who embodies mercy, that he wants his people to show mercy as well. That's why he says in Luke chapter 6, verse 36, therefore, be merciful, for your Father also is merciful. James chapter 2, verse 13 says, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs judgment. Some people are eager for people to get their just desserts, but God is eager to show mercy. I know it may be hard for some of us to let some things go, especially when somebody has done something that we believe is wrong or something that has offended us. But God puts his mercy, his focus on mercy. Yes, they lived in a time of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, according to Leviticus chapter 24, which lays out specifically how to respond in certain situations, but it talks specifically about murder. It does not say anything about unintentional deaths. And so God did allow retribution to play a part in justice, but let us not forget that God is also filled with compassion. I remember seeing a story on the news where a guy whose son was killed because this one guy was trying to rob him, and in the process, I guess he accidentally shot his son and killed him. And so in the courtroom, the man, the father, was given the opportunity to speak. And in that, he said that he forgives the guy who shot his son. And he says, he said he blames the devil who misguided him to do what he did. And it stood out to me in part because it's a wonderful example of forgiveness, but also because, the guy actually came and gave the guy who killed his son a hug. And so it also stood out to me because the guy who shot his son broke down in tears when he heard he was forgiven. And he actually apologized to him, and he said that he was sorry for everything that happened that day. Now, yes, he was sorry in part because he was going to spend the next 3 decades in jail, but also because he made a horrific, terrible, life-changing mistake. And for, not just for him, but for that man's family and everyone else involved. Sometimes we forget that the very reason for justice is to protect life and the quality of life, which is also the reason why it's necessary to show mercy. When it comes to seeking revenge, God knows that people in the heat of their emotions, oftentimes get so focused on how they feel that it overwhelms their ability to think clearly. And sometimes that emotion can, and oftentimes cause them to take things entirely too far. And that concept makes us think about Romans chapter 12, when it says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Now God says, this is, and vengeance is mine because you can't handle it right. But most people don't think about the fact that Paul was quoting Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35. And in that very next verse, in verse number 36, Moses says, for the Lord will judge his people and have compassion on his servants. God does want to protect life. By all means, though, that does not mean that we get to escape the consequences of our actions. In verse number 6 of Joshua 20, he says that the slayer will still has to stay in that city for protection until he can stand before the congregation for judgment and until the death of the high priest. They have to review the situation, make sure that he actually is innocent or guilty. And even after he has been announced innocent, he still has to stay there until the death of the high priest. And even in our own nation's laws, we have our detained until the trial for our case. And there are varying degrees of manslaughter in our laws, just to make sure that a person who didn't actually, you know, intend to kill somebody doesn't spend the next 3 decades of their life in jail. My cousin, actually, he got into a fight. He was a truck driver for a long time. And he got into a fight in Florida. And it was an argument. The guy started, you know, getting violent with him. He swung on the guy swung on him, missed. My cousin hit him one time and killed him. And so they threw the book at him. And he spent the last 18 years of his life in jail for something he really did not intend to do. So it's evident that God considers all the facts when it comes to our judgment for the things that we have done. He makes sure that there are processes involved in for religious issues and for in our government to make sure that evil doesn't overrun our society. But we may not always like what our politicians and political leaders have to say or what they do. And we may not always like those who enforce the laws. But we have to understand that God is the one who put those individuals in authority. He put laws in place and those who enforce the laws so that there is order in our society. Now, it's obvious that some politicians and some lawkeepers have a tendency sometimes of taking things too far. But as I said, God is the one who puts people in power. He is the one who makes governments. He is the one who sets laws in order so that people can have peace in the land. And when you really think about it, even in their culture, there's no one who really gets away with doing crimes. And as I said, this guy, when you actually accidentally kill someone, you have to stay in that land until the high priest dies. And that means your whole life gets turned upside down. You're separated from your family and your friends. If you had a job, you don't have one anymore, you know, because everything has been turned upside down. Now, Scripture makes it very clear that once all this is resolved, you can go back to your land. But for some people, that might end up being 20, 30 years later. Many scholars liken this whole process of waiting till the high priest dies to the fact that Jesus is our high priest, and how his death atones for our sins. Yeah. And so in this way, the person who commits murder has their sins atoned. and one other thing to consider about the cities of refuge is that the very ones who teach God's word and conduct the services, the priests, were the ones who were called to protect those running for their lives. If there was anyone who had to be objective and look past their personal opinions, it was the priests. Guilty or not guilty, or perceived issues or not, they had to be objective. As Christians, we are spiritually God's priests today. Yeah. It's not our place to reserve judgment about people's lives. Yeah. We are called to love others as he loved us, to be the ones who show mercy just like God does to us. And I know it can be hard at times, but if you would just really take a few minutes, a few seconds, to really put yourself in the shoes of the other person, oftentimes you will realize that you don't want to be judged harshly yourself. Because everybody makes mistakes. Man. There are things that I have done in my past that I wish never had taken place. There are things that I have said to people that I wish I could have taken back. But if I was to be condemned just on those situations, I would have never gotten to this point in my life. Yeah.
Amen.
I would never be here before you speaking God's word. So sometimes we have to realize that God has a plan beyond people's issues, just like he did past David's issues, just like he did for past Moses' issues. You know, he has a plan for our lives, and if we are ones who can't really show that mercy, then how can we properly expect that God will show us mercy? Chapter 20 goes on to list the six cities, three on the west side of the Jordan and three on the east side. He had cities of refuge in the north and in the south and in the middle of the country. And on the other side, it was the same thing. City of refuge in the north, city of net refuge in the south, and one in the middle. He wanted to make sure that everyone had an opportunity to flee and get a chance to have their case heard properly. Now, even in those situations, we have to understand that, God is seeking the right answer. He is looking for the truth of the matter. So we can't just go off doing anything we want to and expect to just get away with it.
Yeah.
Remember, this was a theocracy, not a democracy. And God was very involved in the decisions that took place in those nations. And remember, it was part of the high priests were the ones who were to conduct the elders and the elders of the priests were the ones to conduct the investigation into these matters. And God was always the one who guided that investigation. So that means we can't just expect that we can do whatever we want, and God is just going to say, okay, it's all right, forget about what happened, that we will be okay. No, we have to be striving to do His will. In chapter 21, it goes on to list the cities of the pasture lands of the Levites, who were not given a large plots of land, as we know. They didn't need to sow crops, and they weren't going to be selling land and all that. They were going to be conducting the services of the Lord. And so most of what they needed was being provided for by the nation when they were giving their donations and their sacrifices. In Joshua 21:1-3, it says, "Then the heads of the families, the house of the Levites, came near to Eleazar the priest, to Joshua the son of Nun, and to the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they spoke to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, Lord, the Lord commanded Moses to give us cities to dwell in, with their common lands for our livestock. So the children of Israel gave to the Levites from their inheritance at the commandment of the Lord these cities and their common lands." Now, I'm not going to really go over every single one because this is a long chapter, and they actually, there's 48 in total cities that was given to them, okay? But it's a lot to go through. So, but in verse number 43, it says, "So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to Israel, sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass." He said, every good thing that God promised came to pass. Everything. God is not like man. He doesn't just offer up lip service. He backs up his word with action. He is faithful to do everything that he has promised. Whether it is in the Old Testament or in the New, God has made sure that he follows through on what he said he was going to do. And that is why we can trust him. That is why he can be our refuge.
Amen.
In Psalms chapter 46, verse 1, it says, "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble." In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17, it says, "God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise would be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind." So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek.
Amen.
That is New Living Translation, for those of you who looked that up. God is our refuge. Through Christ Jesus, we get refuge from our sins, from the mistakes that we have made in this world. I have put my life in the hands of God. No matter what the future may hold, I know that God will make a way. He will always provide. He will always watch over and protect me. No matter what situations we can find ourselves in, just like with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they trusted God and they got out of the fire. Imagine some of the things that we may face going forward in the future. We can trust and know that God is going to be there for us. So this morning, let us be those who embrace an attitude of mercy and grace. Be those who trust that God is going to be there for us and that He can bring true justice to our enemies. We don't have to be the ones who try and take everybody out because somebody did something wrong to us. This morning, let us be the ones that God can say that He's living lives that bring glory and honor to His name. Whatever your needs are this morning, let them be known. As together we stand and sing the invitation song.
Tempted and tried.